841 at 55KRC, the talk station. Ryan Thomas right here. I'm pleased to welcome to the 55KRC Morning Show from the Buckeye Institute, which you can find online at buckeyeinstitute.org. Robert Ault, he's the president and chief executive of the Buckeye Institute. He also serves on the board of trustees. He is, you've probably seen him on TV. He's lectured, frequent speaker at universities and law schools, testified before Congress on multiple occasions, including the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan. Fellow Federalist Society supporter and graduate of the University of Chicago Law School. Fellow lawyer, Robert Ault, welcome back to the 55KRC Morning Show to talk about Ohio versus Yellen, which you got a win from the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Ohio blocking the Biden administration's tax mandate. Let's talk about this one. This was the COVID relief funds and the limitations that the administration placed on any state's use of them. Good to have you on the program today, Robert.
Thanks for having me back on. Yeah, no, this is, to my mind, one of the biggest overreaches, I think, ever in terms of the federal government.
Robert Ault, wait a minute, Robert Ault from the Buckeye Institute just called this the biggest one ever?
I'm not just saying it. I will back it up. This is basically a bill that creates the ability for the federal government to completely take over all legislative authority from the states. That really is what we're dealing with. Because there, ultimately, there. Think about it. There's hardly anything that the legislature does, that the governor does, that doesn't sooner or later impact your tax bill.
True.
So if they go ahead and change the speed limit, it changes how much gas tax you pay. If they go ahead and make some regulations with regard to COVID, we saw this. It ends up, businesses end up, they choose winners and losers. Businesses end up being closed or open. That affects tax revenue. There's hardly a decision that the legislature makes that doesn't impact tax revenue. And what it is that the federal government said is, if you end up cutting taxes, either directly or indirectly, and that's the big thing here. Indirectly, what does that mean? Who knows what that means?
Yeah.
Essentially, it grants the Secretary of Treasury, Secretary Yellen, the ability to go ahead and micromanage every aspect of state law.
So was it invalidated at least at the district court level? And I know it's going on appeal, and this is where the Buckeye Institute has filed another amicus brief. It's a friend of the court brief. You just interject your thoughts and comments on it in an effort to sway the court's opinion. It happens all the time. But is this lower court opinion, they void it for vagueness or because it usurped control over the state governments? But you said indirectly. I mean, think about it. If we get a pile of cash of any amount and we put it toward anything that the state tax dollars would have done, it indirectly affects the taxation because that's a project that the taxpayers of the state no longer have to fund, right?
Oh, yeah. No, and you take a look. I mean, we pointed out a number of things that would be unlawful under this. So, I mean, among the things that they actually expressly talked about, and contemplated when they passed this law is, oh, gee, well, the states may want to go ahead and use this to, a lot of them owe a lot of money in their unemployment compensation trust fund.
So Illinois, Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah. And we actually had a bill in Ohio, and one of the prudent things the governor did is he paid down this debt so that we wouldn't have to pay higher rates, which wouldn't be passed on to businesses as a tax increase. Well, guess what? That is indirectly cutting taxes that would be increased in the future. That violates the law, despite the fact that's expressly contemplated. That's what they were looking at. It's just complete madness in terms of there's almost nothing that the governor and the legislature could have used these funds for that wouldn't have potentially had the had impact on, sort of future tax revenues. This is an enormous overreach. As you said, district court gave us the first good opinion in the country, a great opinion here from a federal judge here in the Southern District of Ohio. I believe that there are now two district courts that have stayed the application of it. Based upon the judge here did this based upon sort of two theories, essentially. One, the big one, that if in fact Congress is going to go ahead and trample on traditional state authority, they have to do so extraordinarily clearly so that the states know what it is, the bargain they're getting into. They know ahead of time, I'm giving this up if I go ahead and take the money. And this was so vague, so unclear. There's no way that the state of Ohio could even know what it was ceding control over to the federal government.
And Robert Ault of the Buckeye Institute, gee, now in terms of opposition to anything any given state might face from the federal government in their plans to use this money, how likely is it that the decision whether to sue to prevent the application or not would be based perhaps upon the politics of the state?
Heaven forbid that should ever come up.
Well, if it's indirectly, I mean, whoever's deciding what means indirect is the one that's going to pull the trigger from the Justice Department or whatever in order and sue the state saying you violate the terms and conditions of this the COVID Relief Fund Act. I mean, it's just I can see this being highly politicized.
Well, and you already have. If you take a look at regulations that have been put out by the Department of Treasury, you know, talking about what they think is okay and what's not okay, it obviously conforms with priorities of the Biden administration. So if you go ahead and cut your taxes in your state and make them conform to tax cuts that they put in place for federal law for things that they liked, like, you know, going ahead and not taxing unemployment compensation during the pandemic or other, you know, sort of federal benefits that were tossed out there, that's okay. But other tax cuts aren't. So what you can see is if you're doing things we like, we're going to go ahead and say that that's not a problem. If you're doing something we don't like, we're going to come after you. And we're going to go ahead and claw back the monies. So.
All right. And so
we've already seen it. Yeah.
Okay. So you have filed an amicus brief for the appeal. U.S. District Court for Southern District of Ohio ruled in favor of Ohio. Now it's up at the appellate court. What's the timeline for for the decision? Is oral argument scheduled? Briefing's already been done. Where are we on this one?
Briefing has been done, other than I think we're awaiting the reply brief from the government, which will be coming here soon, and then it will be set for oral argument. I was actually just looking at the docket right before we called in, and I don't see there was an issue with oral argument time. I don't see that scheduled yet, but I know they have sought to expedite that, so that should be coming here soon. So
now it's on. You said they stayed, and it's just this provision of the American Rescue Plan Act. Is this something that would void the entire bill, or is this something that can be excised from it and dealt with independently? We've dealt with this issue before, like with the Obamacare tax. I mean, if you excise something that is of critical importance to the overall bill, the whole bill ultimately gets deemed unconstitutional or thrown out.
So this in this particular case, obviously, the American Rescue Plan Act, huge bill, huge amount of money that went to the states. This would just impact this particular tax mandate provision, the one that says that if you are a state and you have participated in the plan, which all the states did,
right,
that you can't cut taxes directly or indirectly. So that provision has been stayed, and that's what's up before the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, stay tuned. I think this one is destined to head for the Supreme Court.
Yes.
I don't think that the administration is going to let this one go.
Nope.
And, you know, depending on what happens, if the Sixth Circuit strikes it down, there's basically two paths to get the Supreme Court to hear a case. One is a circuit split where two different circuits rule differently. The other one is if a provision of federal law is struck down in whole or in part. I can only think of one instance in the last 100 years where the court didn't take a case where that happened. So if, for instance, the Sixth Circuit were to agree with the district court, go ahead and continue its stay on this provision, I think that that's almost 100% that the Supreme Court would take that case.
Okay.
So, and very likely to end up before the 9 justices.
Is the stay like an injunction, which means the court has determined likelihood of success on the overall merits? Was it in on an injunction? Does the stay equal an injunction? How does that work in practice while we're waiting the final resolution, which may come from the Supreme Court, Robert?
Yeah, so in order to get the stay, it's a four-part test in terms of the injunction, and one of the elements is a likelihood of success on the merits. And so the court below, they went ahead and issued a permanent injunction against it, which and found that, in fact, yes, the state of Ohio was likely to succeed in its claims. So that's a very strong indication of the constitutional, or in this case, you know, this is sort of a common law basis that's been built up by the courts to preserve federalism, because the courts recognized a while back that if the federal government is allowed to use the spending clause in a vague way to impose requirements on the state, that federalism is gone. And so this has been a mechanism that the court has used to preserve that federal-state balance.
Well, I'll strongly encourage my listeners to reach out to the Buckeye Institute through buckeyeinstitute.org. I'm sure that they would accept a contribution to the extent you want to help their fund their wonderful work. And on behalf of my listeners and those who still believe in the concept of federalism and states' rights, thank you to you and the Buckeye Institute for what you're doing. Great success in the lower level, and I wish you the greatest of successes as we see it, probably through the Supreme Court, Robert.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Great talking to you this morning.
A real pleasure, my friend. You and your family, best of health. 852-55KRC, the talk station. Quick word for my friends at the Cincinnati VA.